Hello, what are you reading?
Hi, it's the Holy Quran.
But isn't the Quran only for Muslims?
Not at all. Its teachings are addressed to all humanity, from heads of state to everyday people like us.
What does it teach us?
It's a book of life for life. No thinking person should pass through life without it.
Where can I get a copy?
From the IPCI, 124 Queen Street, Durban.
نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ورسوله النبي الأمين المكين الحنين الكريم الرؤوف الرحيم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تعالى في شأن حبيبه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحب وترضى وبنت صلي عليه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Most respected علماء, my respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have a guest speaker for today's Jumu'ah, and that is none other than Imam Muhammad Al-Asi. He is a scholar that has been involved in promoting Islam, defending Islam, being a true mujahid of Islam for umpteen years, and he's very well known throughout the world, and he was here about 6 to 9 months ago for the launch of his tafsir, the Ascendant Quran, which is a tafsir, a contemporary tafsir in English of the Holy Quran, and he's here once again with us today. We are very honored and privileged to have him here this day for Jumu'ah. He's normally in Washington DC, and as a sign of protest, he's always outside giving his khutbah. We like to have him inside now and to give his own speech in his own inimitable style, and we are very honored to have him here this afternoon, and may we benefit from his discourse inshallah. Without much further ado, I'd like to call upon Imam Muhammad Al-Asi, and I will do the announcement about the launch of the second volume and the third volume of his tafsir a little later inshallah. Jazakallah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله كما ينبغي لجلال وجهه ولعظيم سلطانه الحمد لله يهدي من يشاء ويضل من يشاء وما ربك بظلام للعبيد وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون وأشهد أن سيدنا وولي أمرنا ومولانا وإمامنا وحبيبنا وعزيز قلوبنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عبده ورسوله قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. أما بعد، معشر المؤمنين، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin by thanking you for the opportunity to be here with you at this time preceding Salat al-Jumu'ah. You can only appreciate being in a masjid when you are denied going to some masajid. And all praise and all appreciation is due to Allah Jalla wa Ala for His design and His decree in whatever comes our way in life. I begin my presentation to you by asking you to be present with your mind. I beg your attention. We the Muslims in the world, have individuals who are in positions of responsibility, who have enormous wealth because they are in government positions and in decision-making positions. We have an array of such organizations and individuals who want to accuse Muslims of being either mushriks or kafirs. This accusation, to the best of our knowledge, emanates from the area called Arabia. And as you know, there's plenty of wealth that is located in that geographical area simply because the industrial world are pumping the oil fields, and some of this revenue goes back to these self-styled Islamic spokespersons and scholars. And they are very liberal at accusing other Muslims of, in their own words, kufr and shirk. Wa na'udhu billahi ta'ala. This has to come to an end. It will not come to an end, though, if this type of takfir is not brought into the public realm and exposed for the fallacy that it is. We know of many incidents in which Muslims go to Al-Hijaz. That's the area in which Mecca and Al-Madinah are located. And when they go to Al-Madinah and they want to visit the Prophet's Masjid and show their respects to the Prophet, we have some of these holier-than-thou individuals who impede
disturb, deter, defy the expression of love and affection for Allah's Prophet. The Muslims are entitled to express their attachment and their affection to Allah's Prophet. If you were lost somewhere and you felt desperate, you needed information and you needed direction of how to get to your destination, and a person comes to you and you know nothing about anything and you're stuck, and a person comes and tells you, "What is it? Can I help you?" And you said, "Yes, I'm trying to reach my destination." And the person shows you, explains to you exactly how to get to your destination, you would be very thankful to that person. And there is nothing in the Quran or in the Sunnah that says you cannot be thankful to a person who helps you out when you are in dire need of help. Imagine a person comes to us, not to one of us and not to a small number of us. He comes to us, the Muslims of the world. Now we are quickly approaching 2 billion. And he shows us the way to our destiny, to al-akhirah, to yawm al-hisab, to al-jannah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should we not be appreciative? Should we not be thankful? These people who want to stifle and exterminate these feelings of appreciation and attachment to Allah's Prophet, they are the ones who have a problem. We, in the encompassing and inclusive sense that we are in, we should feel sorry for them. But at the same time, we should not let them get away with the harsh attitude that they have towards anyone who flocks to Allah's Prophet and tries to express their love and devotion towards him. And if it was only one simple area in which they are exercising this unexplainable attitude, we would have had a diminutive problem. But the issue is, they are spread all around the world. And they want us to believe that the Prophet was something like a postman. He delivered a message and he left. This cannot be. They complicate the issue even more by trying to give it what they call a aqidi dimension, a doctrinary explanation. So they factor in the words kufr and shirk. Obviously, if they are Muslims, and we would like to meet them, we would like to speak to them, but they are the ones who run away. They are the ones who don't want to make an appearance. They are the ones who don't want to talk. Why? What's wrong? If you are confident of your position, and if you refer an issue of disagreement to Allah and His Prophet, And that's the meaning of the ayah in the Quran. If you dispute a certain issue among yourselves, you the committed Muslims, then refer it to Allah and His Prophet. And if they are that type, we welcome them. Come, let us open up. You have no right expelling Muslim from masajid around the world. You have no right denying Muslims access to Mecca and al-Madinah. You have no right acting as barriers between those who love Allah's Prophet and Allah's Prophet's final resting place in al-Madinah. And besides these words, come, ta'alaw, ila kitabillah, to the book of Allah. You're using these words, kufr and shirk. Okay. Let us see who is the mushrik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the ayah that you read and we read and all the rest of the Muslims read, says, وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. The act of shirk is not involved in the governance of Allah. Allah has revealed to us a form of governance. And in the application of this ruling and this governance, this hukm, there is no sharik. Now, let us look at ourselves. Who is bringing in shuraka with Allah when it comes to issues of governance and ruling and authority and the administration of social affairs? Who's bringing in someone else? Are they the Muslims who express their love and their compassion to Allah's Prophet? Are we the Muslims who want to go and visit Allah's Prophet in al-Madinah? Are we guilty of this shirk pertaining to hukm? Or are you, the rulers in Arabia, guilty of this shirk that pertains to hukm? You've brought the imperialists in. You are condoning Zionism now. You are even telling them, we will finance your wars against struggling and fighting Muslims for their rights and for their destiny. Who is guilty of shirk here? وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. The facts speak for themselves. You have military bases. Did Allah's Prophet have military bases in Arabia when Arabia was independent of the powers of the world and would only answer to Allah Azza wa Jal? Why do you turn this around and say, because we love Allah's Prophet, we have become mushriks? Where do you get that from? Another ayah, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِّنَ الذُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. In this ayah, Allah says, these are Allah's words, come, listen to what Allah is saying. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. Allah has no sharik, no rival, no competitor, no partner, no associate, no parallel when it comes to matters of dominion, of ownership, of possessing wealth. Now, who is guilty of this shirk? We, the simple Muslims who come to Allah's holy sanctuaries with compassionate hearts. Are we guilty of this shirk? Or are you, who have brought in to this holy land, into a place that is the dominion of Allah, and given the avowed enemies of Allah and the committed Muslims a say where it does not belong. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. Look at the word shirk. Another ayah in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Shirk is a gargantuan form of oppression, tyranny, despotism, dictatorship, injustice. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah is teaching us. You want to learn? Come to Allah and His Prophet. Look at the world today. Where are the largest expression of tyranny and injustice in the world today? Where do you find them? In the communities of Muslims around the world who adore Allah's Prophet, who admire Allah's Prophet, Is that ظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ? Or is this ظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, the forces of imperialism and Zionism, to which you perform your Hajj in Washington, European capitals, and Tel Aviv? Those are your ritualistic politics. And then at the end of the day, you say, we Muslims cannot show our affection for Allah's Prophet. This has become shirk. We've never heard of this. The Prophet of Allah and others of his generation, they showed compassion and mercy to small children. Once a person shows his son in the presence of Allah's Prophet how he loves him, he kisses him. And then Allah's Prophet approves of this. And then another person says, I've never in my life done something like this to my own children, to my son. And he says, what can we say and what can be done if Allah has extracted this rahmah, this expression of rahmah from your heart? And we say the same thing to these types of individuals. What can we do if Allah has taken from your heart the passion and the compassion that are due to Allah's Prophet? You know, we don't want to open up chapters of history. We want to tread mildly in this area. But you know, at the beginning of our Islamic history, that a dynasty took over, and the household of Allah's Prophet was denied access to decision making. This is the best way it can be put. They were denied access to decision making because now the Muslims had a family that was ruling. It is haram for the family of Allah's Prophet to be part of the decision making process at the highest levels. But it is halal for them, beginning with the first dynasty and continuing to the current dynasty that rules in Arabia. Halal for them what was haram on the Prophet's intimates. This is the topsy-turvy world that we are in. And then they come to us with the configuration and the costumes of piety and fearing God and all of this other stuff. Don't be deceived by appearances. What they are doing that is costing us money and lives speaks much louder than their empty words and their shallow feelings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us so that we can extend our responsibility to guide those who are going astray. Going astray in and of all places, Arabia. When the Muslims first exited Arabia 14 centuries ago into the wilderness of the world, they took with them the responsibilities given to them by Allah and His Prophet. And they honored those responsibilities the best they could with all the internal and external problems and challenges that they had. Today, those who exit Arabia go to other parts of the world with their limousines, to the red district areas of certain cities, to the casinos. One level of the Treasury Department in Washington, D.C. is occupied by the kin and the family that is ruling in Arabia. They come to us with one face and try to, and even with the passion and the compassion that we have towards Allah's Prophet, there still is a deficit. As much as we try our best to live as if we are in the presence of Allah's Prophet, they want to come and try to annul all of this. What do they want to do? What will satisfy them? We don't know. If we wanted to go to Khaybar, that's the area where Allah's Prophet and his first generation of committed Muslims defeated the pre-Zionists of today. Try to go to Khaybar. What's wrong with you? You people who are running Arabia. You will not let us visit with our feelings and emotions that are due to Allah's Prophet. You will not let us visit him. And also, to add insult to injury, you will not let us to go to the areas in Arabia where the Muslims defeated Yahud. Who are you? Where do you come from? What book do you refer to? وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على محمد وآل محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you very much, brothers.
Jazakallah khair jaza to Imam Muhammad Al-Asi for that wonderful discourse. My father just returned from Saudi Arabia. I don't like to call it Arabia, I prefer to call it Hijaz. About 2 weeks ago, and it was surprising for him. He'd been there after about 12 years. Surprising for him, I hadn't seen it actually, that at the Muwajjah Sharif of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what the Saudi government had removed many years ago, which was Ya next to the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was somehow or the other put back again. And my father did an about turn to say, hold on a minute, it was out for many years. What has happened? Now, instead of putting one big Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they've put in four smaller ones, and well, you know, it's literally like going through the back door to say, okay, maybe there's an about turn, because that's the only way we can save face, right? And this is an issue, and what Imam has spoken about is true, because on one side you have the Saud, and on the other side you have the Yahud, and somehow or the other, we need to get rid of both of them, particularly on a political and on a spiritual level as well. May Allah give us a tawfiq and hidayah, inshallah. And we'd like to thank IPCI and the convenience for having Imam Muhammad here with us today. And as I said, that his volume 1, 2 and 3 of his tafsir has been launched, and today we make an official launch here as well. And I think there are the copies of tafsir outside. You may purchase them if you wish to. Once again, Jazakallah khair, jazak to Imam Muhammad Al-Asi as well for his wonderful discourse and for his fiery and inimitable style.
It wasn't said with that amount of zeal and expression. It didn't go through. This nail has to be banged nice in with a 5-pound hammer, not with the small plastic hammer. On the basis of Ya Rasulallah and Ya Muhammad and Ya Allah, this ummat and community throughout the world was split on this Greek philosophy of to say Ya Rasulallah to somebody who is ghaib is shirk and kufr. And when you read salam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, ya Nabi, salam alayka, you'll become a kafir. That was said. You understand? The Urdu-speaking followers of Wahhabism and Salafism now, which is even worse, had made a total split in the ummah. When I read Salatu Salam here, you must see idiots who claim to be Sunnat followers running away. Who the following? Same Salafis. Now, I went and I, you know, in front of the Prophet Salatu Salam, we don't even raise our eyes. I just had a glimpse. Huh? What happened here? There's it there, you can see it there, the old one. Ya has been cut off. You understand? The color photograph is there. There's it there. In my left, there's a big frame there. I went back and I saw, I said, oh, Ya Muhammad and Ya Allah came back. So it's about turn. Announce it. When you did the first turn, you announced it. Don't say, and how many musallis here? My musallis in this masjid. I'm using the word scientifically. My musallis. Okay, musallis of this masjid. Walk away. Now I'm telling you, stay and asking for the blessings and salat and salam and rahmat to be descended on the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an action that Allah does. He doesn't read namaz. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi. He does it. Don't walk away. This arrogance and ignorance. I went again and I took a second turn and I washed nicely. And if I wasn't one of those people who don't have the gall to use a camera, I haven't got a cell phone in the first place, and I'm very happy about that. If you click also, you'll see it. So those who have been there, when Jamiat Maulana was there, I met him by chance, I told him, ha, Maulana, good news for you. Unite the Ummah. Yeah, Durban. Unite the Ummah. You split them right through, Hogia Mamla, on the basis of this Wahhabi beliefs. Now, you turn, albeit from the back door, quietly, you're coming in, because there was a time Zikrullah was haram. 1969, I'll show you documentary evidence. Zikrullah was haram in Durban. We were jokes in Great Masjid. A.G. Khan, myself, Dr. Mahmud Khan, and the senior council and others and all, quite a few days, Kai used to come and pick me up here, because I had the guts. Zikrullah in Masjid. ومن أظلم ممن منع مساجد الله أن يذكر فيها اسمه وصوى في خرابها. After 1969, the whole thing took a dive. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. I saw all that. Ask me the history of this country and I will tell you in detail, honestly, remembering that I'm answerable to Allah Ta'ala, not on the day of Qiyamah, immediately after birth or death. You understand? Okay. What I want to tell you is that I think this news should be spread. All of them said, oh, your fathers have taken a U-turn. When are the small little shrimps here coming to terms? And said, because the whole ummah is in a state of disarray. I was just telling Sheikh just now, the Ka'b bin Ashraf, the the Jewish leader, his house in Saudi Arabia is protected by UNESCO. UNESCO protected a Jewish house. But Bibi Khadija's house, where it was, end of Safa, Marwa, there. They built a toilet there, do you know that? The truth is more surprising and shocking than fiction. And we are sleeping. And from 1969 that we vociferously started opposing this thing here. Now the Ummah getting, what happened? The whole history has been destroyed by the stooges of Zionists. And now, when we walk in Haram and walk anywhere, the Arabs, they come and touch your beard, subhanAllah, mashallah. No, Kamal of mine. This is just, but it's, there's a change in attitude. Come back to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, you got to wake up in this country here. Don't just follow because what is, official Islam in Saudi Arabia. Well, let me tell you something. There were 360 idols there also. And Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam removed it. Abu Jahl also buried, I don't know where, but somewhere there. Alhamdulillah. I'm not just emotional. We know this history. We know these realities. That's why we are upset. My house has been destroyed by my own brothers.